2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web, and we are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project, this special limited edition spring season of the show. I'm Ethan Millard, and joining me today is special guest host Andy Farnsworth. Andy, welcome to the Nightside Project.
Thanks, Ethan. It's been a while. It's nice to be back.
You are no stranger to hosting the Nightside Project, and I'm glad we could do this again. This is going to be fun.
Well, you know, I'm completely turned around. Day is night, night is day.
I know.
Light is dark. I'm turned all around. You know, usually I'm getting ready for bed within the next hour or so. But here I am with full of energy, ready to go.
Yeah, not tonight. Tonight we have a lot to cover. And first things first, we're going to cover the big Memorial Day weekend. We hope you had an awesome time. We hope you had fun activities, and we hope that you also approached it with a good degree of common sense in mind. And I
common sense is a good word.
And I think it's best at this point to just kind of let people interpret for themselves what common sense is.
That's dangerous, but I think you're right.
In these situations. But there were a couple of places, Andy, that made some headlines, specifically pool parties. This was the weekend for pool parties that raised a lot of eyebrows, because we know that in some areas, these coronavirus cases continue to be a major concern. We've seen in some areas these numbers bounce back a little bit, which is concerning. And so when we saw, especially at Lake of the Ozarks and then, of course, in Houston, there were a couple of well-publicized pool parties that wound up just being shoulder-to-shoulder people in these pools and on the pool decks. And I kind of feel like at a certain point, I don't think you could really make a good case that that was using common sense.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, if you look at the pictures, I don't know if anybody's seen the pictures from over the weekend. This is crowded for before the quarantine. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to go to a pool that has that little space to do anything in.
I looked at that. I looked at those photos and I thought to myself, geez, I mean, even setting aside the virus risk.
It looks like there's a swim-up bar in the middle.
It doesn't look like any fun at all.
I guess it's just the expression of freedom is what they were feeling.
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of, because you sure weren't going to get any laps in. You weren't going to get much swimming time in.
Well, and I understand that some of these pools are kind of hangout pools. But
yeah,
at the same time, like, there were so many people all standing around in this.
That people were willing to show off their bathing suit bodies after quarantine. I thought it was going to take a few more months, you know, to get to that point where you'd feel like wearing a swimsuit in public.
I think that's where the swim-up bar comes into play there, Andy. Because you're right, in places like Utah, where we're stone sober, yeah, we're still a ways out from you know, swimsuit bodies. But apparently they're not quite so much.
Over the Memorial Day weekend for Utah, it's not just about, you know, having a pool open. It was freezing over the weekend.
Yeah, it was cold here. In fact, I had some friends of mine that went camping up at one of the reservoirs at one of the campsites, and they said that I can't remember which lake they were at. I want to say it was Pine View, but they said, yeah, there were a lot of people camping, so all the campgrounds were full. but very few people on the lake. Very few people on the lake. And Andy, you went camping this weekend.
I did. So this was the first chance to get out. Did you even leave the house over the weekend, Ethan?
Oh, heavens no.
Okay.
I ran a few errands. And then I've been having to replace some grass in my yard for last year and this year. It's just been this ongoing problem. Because I maintain a, I don't know if you know this about my yard, but I maintain an outdoor dog toilet with roughly the same square footage of my entire house. And, you know, it's a job. It's a job keeping the grass green. But
you know, I have a lot of reasons why I don't have a pet, but that's one of them.
Well, you got to know what you're getting into for sure.
For sure.
But tell me how your camping trip
So went. We did, my wife's family wanted to put something together. And this is one of the benefits, I guess, of the shutdown was that they were able to get a great camping spot with just 2 weeks' notice because everything was closed down, so no appointments were made. So we got this great place that's just off the freeway in Colville on the west side of I-80, and it was it used to be a Camping World or something like that. But at any rate, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law had a cabin. My family was in a big tent right next to the cabin, and then my parents-in-law had a trailer site for their fifth wheel. And we kind of just stuck in our little group together.
Yeah.
Despite best efforts, my six-year-olds kept running off to anybody who had a dog, and we hadn't had to try to drag them back.
Yeah.
But there was a little stream that went by. There's a little pond to fish in, and we just kind of hung out together. And, you know, other than freezing rain one of the nights, and it was so cold the other night, I was really jealous of the cabin people. But it was just my wife said to me, this is the first time she's felt normal in 2 months. And, you know, we didn't really interact with a lot of people. I don't know how much we would have anyway, even if there wasn't, you know, social distancing, but just to be outside, to be in the sun sometimes. And, you know, for her, that was a real big relief because obviously, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like me. My wife is experiencing this much different than I am. I still come and do traffic in the mornings, just like I did before. I do more behind the scenes than I did. But, you know, timing-wise, I still get up at the same time. I still go in at the same time. And for her, it's like the same, only worse, because all the things she used to do for outlets when she wasn't helping the kids or doing chores or whatever, that she couldn't do. She can't go to yard sales. They weren't having them forever. She can't go to the store, you know, or except for very minimal things.
Yeah.
And so she, for her, this was a huge, huge relief. And for me, it was, you know, it was fun. But for her, it was a massive, massive help.
Yeah. Well, and I think camping is an awesome activity for this period where, you know, we're getting back out there, but it's still best to kind of stay apart a little bit, wear masks and social distancing, stuff like that.
And there was a pool at the place we went, but it wasn't open, and thankfully, because I wouldn't have gone anywhere near that.
Well, and you know, you look at those photos, man, like the Lake of the Ozarks or Houston. You know, there are people standing in this weird warm soup, human soup, and everyone's in there leaking sweat and sunscreen, and they're drinking and urinating and all standing in their shoulder to shoulder in this same soupy water sloshing around. And I look at that and I'm like, what?
Well, but the studies have said that there's no proof that you can get corona from being in a pool. So maybe it's the people who are outside of the pool that are the crazy ones, and the ones in the water are invincible.
Honestly, I mean, you look at what's going on, and for some people, coronavirus is the least of their concerns. I mean, this is not hygienic in any way, shape, or form. But you know, things are changing, and here's how this is going to happen. So I think the big crowds that we saw over the weekend, while we may kind of raise our eyebrows at some of it, overall, I think a lot of people are interpreting it as a bullish sign economically. You saw the market was up really handsomely today. And I think people see it like that. So I think the thing to watch for, Andy, is over the next couple of weeks, are we going to see an increase in cases or not? And that's going to be very telling.
Either well, but are way, we only going to see an increase in cases in those places or everywhere as now that we're getting
well,
you know, to get out
had,
a little
everywhere
bit
had big crowds.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because later on in the show, we're going to talk about what happened at Lagoon now that they've reopened.
Oh, I can't wait to
and
go to
so
Lagoon. I love Lagoon.
They did not have an experience like like at the pools of the Ozarks.
No,
in,
they kept
in
a
Maryland.
Real they kept a real tight lid on it, which was smart. I think Lagoon is doing a very good job, you know, kind of navigating this. Everyone's making it up as they go along. It seems like Lagoon has got a super reasonable way to approach it, and one that I honestly I'm tempted to take advantage of actually.
If you can get in. If you can get in.
But here's what I think is going to be interesting. So we knew that the summer we'd see fewer cases just because the heat, the sun, the difference.
Right.
And if we see a bump in cases, then we'll know what to do. If it stays kind of flat and we got away with a Memorial Day weekend, then I think we kind of just stick with the masks as best we can, social distancing, and then get ready for in the wintertime if we don't have a vaccine. We got to get serious about it again, you know?
I've got a question for you, Ethan, kind of on this. Speaking of like the pools, the public pool or lagoon, do you think the onus is more on the business owner to try to help people social distance, or is the onus more on the patrons to just do it themselves?
Well, you got to take personal responsibility, right?
I think so.
So, you know, it's.
But I mean, like, if they had at the pool, if they had little circles down out on the pool deck, like you can stand here, you can stand here, you can stand here. But by the number of people there, they would have just ignored it.
No, I can tell that right away.
But
and it was pretty clear. It was pretty clear that some of these events were being organized, like in Houston and Lake of the Ozarks. They were political events too. They had major political messaging.
That's probably true.
And major anti-masks, major anti-public health kind of political messaging, and that these employers were organizing. And I think they feel confident to do that because for the most part, the politicians have indicated that businesses wouldn't be held liable for coronavirus-related, you know,
well, right. And I didn't necessarily mean should the businesses be held liable, but should they be the ones who are more proactive or the people? That was kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Love to get your thoughts on that. 57500, the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line. Tell us what you did over Memorial Day weekend. Did you also practice any social distancing if you got out for the weekend? We're going to take a break here and check some traffic. But when we get back, we got to talk about the school thing. A new study or a new poll finds that some teachers not planning on coming back to classrooms this fall, even if they reopen. You're listening to The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.